fam?
What up, fam?
It's good, y'all. Feels good, right?
Feels good, right?
Yeah, I know it, dude.
I know it, dude.
And without further ado,
we
broadcasting live.
Who sucker punched Rick Moranis? What the hell could he have done?
Some crazy motherfucker walking down the street in New York. So they were just like both of them walking down the street and some crazy dude just like came up to him and just socked him in the face.
That's so fucked up. Imagine you commit like a random crime like that and then it happens to be Rick Moranis.
Right. And also like a universally beloved person.
His story makes me sad, kind of. Sad and happy. Like, I mean, I don't know.
He famously left Hollywood because his wife died of cancer, so he had to raise his children, which I feel like, wow, like that's...
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's why you worked, right? Like, to make money to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, so he, like, was super hot, and then he just, like, people were kind of realized, like, hey, where did he go?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, that's what had happened to him. Yeah, somebody who does not deserve to be sucker punched.
Yeah, so then people were, this morning, were like, damn, Rick Moranis hive, assemble. Because we're going to find this dude.
Seriously.
I really liked Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was little.
Me too. That was a cool, like, premise for a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all those episodes then after, like, of cartoons where people get shrunk and, like...
Oh, right, right, yeah.
...do stuff is always so dumb.
And then you would think that they got nowhere else to go, but then in the sequel, Honey, I blew up the kid.
Hell yeah. Plot twist.
They just don't make ideas like that anymore.
Oh, man. Honey, the kids are back.
No, the next one's got to be like, honey, we fat the kids or something. We got to grow like sideways.
And it's just like the Nutty Professor family. Eddie Murphy playing every character in this movie as a fatso. Did you see that Magic's in the Makeup? Right? Is that her name?
I think it was Mixtape Majesty.
Mixtape Majesty, yeah. She said that she loved that I said that I appreciated it. What's her name?
Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley getting fat. I do appreciate it. Speaking of kids, Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara had a son, and they named him River, which I think is so sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah. And then I read that, like, pretty much, like, all of his siblings have a kid named after River.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His sister's son's name is Rio.
Is it Rio River?
No, it's just Rio.
Oh, okay. I always think about River Phoenix because have you ever seen Hello 90 Day Fiance Hive? You guys watch The Family Chantal?
I've never seen it. Is it good?
I mean, if you're invested in Pedro and Chantal's relationship, then
just because they're a fucking hot mess.
Yeah. Anyway, she has a brother named River, and Pedro is always like, well, he gets flustered and he doesn't speak English well, so he's like, and then the river came at me.
Oh, that's hilarious. Is that the one he threw down with?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So I'm always thinking about the river.
What happened with LeBron James' son?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of kids.
Yeah.
Bronny James.
Bronny? Is his name LeBron?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I don't know if it was an accident or what, like if it was supposed to be for his close friends on Instagram or something, but he accidentally, or I don't know if it was an accident, he posted to his story a video of him smoking weed.
Oh, how old is he?
He's like 14, 15 or something.
Ooh, kind of young.
Real young. And if you guys follow LeBron James at all, like you will know that he's like a very involved father. Like, you know that he would not play this at all. So then Twitter started going crazy. And then they were like, oh, he must be so happy that LeBron is in the bubble right now. And then people were like, then when the Lakers won on Tuesday, people were like, damn, Bronny's three Laker wins away from getting the ass beating of a lifetime.
That's so fucked up. Dude, I used to love, though, if like I would get in trouble and my dad wasn't there, I'd be like, oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, my mom used to tell me sometimes, like, you better stop doing that or I'm going to tell your dad or something. Mm-hmm. And then, like, now looking back at it, like, my dad would never tell me anything, like, ever.
Yeah. She was probably worse. Yeah, seriously, yeah. My mom was probably worse.
Yeah, so prayers up for Bronny James, who's definitely going to get a whooping when LeBron gets home. When LeBron turns this car around.
You know, he FaceTimed him some crazy shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Damn, somebody already has like a contact tracing thing on Trump right now.
Oop. Yeah, because there are so many people that he touched.
Yo. Low-key surprised he touched Melania.
Yeah, I understand Hope having it and him getting it. I don't understand how Melania got it, but they were all on that fucking plane.
Yeah. For a long period of time.
Yeah. Speaking of Melanie, Lordy, there are tapes.
Yeah. Melania Trump. Why'd you call her Melanie? Is that her name?
He accidentally called her Melanie one time.
Oh my God. Of course he did. So some tapes leaked of Melania Trump basically like venting. Who is she talking to? I don't know.
That used to be her best friend.
Oh, really? Damn, Hawaii, you want to come do the episode, man? Yeah, here. You don't know shit. All right, come on here.
Pop-up video.
What? So, that's that girl that wrote the book and shit?
Yep.
Okay, so her ex-friend you guys better fucking be good to your friends because they got some shit on everybody.
Seriously.
Like, if May ever turned on me, I'd have to leave the country low-key. I couldn't practice law anymore for sure. So her former aide, Stephanie Winston Wolkoff. Oh, this bitch's name is Stephanie?
Yep, yep. And look, she got three ass names and they're both like... They're definitely like, what is it? The Winston, like Winston of the Rhode Island Winstons or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they based a character in Gossip Girl after this fucking bitch. So she dropped these tapes of Melania basically venting about Christmas, that she didn't want to decorate the Christmas, like, or like there was a lot of pressure about fucking Christmas or something. And that the liberal media hates her and like it doesn't matter what she does because they always go back to like the kids being held in cages. And she said that they're being taken care of nicely.
Yeah.
And that they have better in those cages than they did in their own country.
And that there have to be consequences for coming here anyway. So she's like, what are you?
Yeah, you know? What were her fucking consequences? I mean, I guess she had to marry Trump.
Yep. And my favorite thing is like what she said, I don't give a fuck about Christmas.
Because low key same, but you can't say that shit.
Well, not when you're first lady. You're supposed to, that's your job. That's like literally your only job.
Seriously, yeah.
Decorate the fucking house for Christmas, bitch.
Seriously.
Unpopular opinion, because I feel like everybody hates the way they decorate for Christmas, but me, who's like a Christmas hating bitch, like I like the way they decorate for Christmas because it's kind of dark.
I don't care for Christmas decorations, but I also didn't care for theirs
because they had those weird like bloody Christmas trees.
Yeah, it looked like do you remember that movie that J-Lo was in,
the Cell?
Yeah it looked
that's,
like that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. That's why I liked it. So Melanie, she should have gotten some heat from the right. However, the right was loving it because they're fucking hypocrites. And then also they didn't even get a real chance to really respond to it because then
the president has COVID.
And so does she.
Yeah.
And so fucking does the president of Notre Dame and also the senator from Utah. And it's like, that's only who we know about right now.
Mm-hmm. Somebody tweeted, there's more people in the White House with COVID than in New Zealand.
Which is absolutely true. They have zero cases in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see it.
And now he's in the hospital because he has a low-grade fever. I just saw that they said it's precautionary, though, but... I mean, they're going to ride that tune until
right
they have to, really, like, if they have to, you
let's
know?
Tell them, let's tell the people when we're recording this. This is Friday, October 2nd.
Oh, yeah, because more shit is going to come out by the time that.
Yeah. It is 5 p.m. local time in California.
The 10 freeway looks clear. Heavy traffic coming up on the eastbound.
And it is 210. Literally 91 degrees for some reason.
I know. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I have no idea. Anyway, so he's in the hospital. But this is my thing, though. They weren't going to say that he had COVID, but the story was somebody broke the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody broke the Hope Hicks story, too, that she had it. So it was like a domino effect. Like, they had to disclose everything because it was already out there.
So, see, a lot of people, like, a lot of people I know are thinking that this whole thing is fake and a ploy. What do you think?
I don't think so. Like, he's not that smart. He's incapable of lying well. You know, this would require a lot of good lying.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he would want to appear weak. And he's always, like, he's been talking shit this whole time, like, of all the people that are getting sick and whatever, and... Yeah, I just don't think, it just doesn't make any sense to me for it to be fake.
Yeah.
And also, I think that things are escalating really, I think it's worse than they're telling us, because they weren't going to tell us at all. And then it came out, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's getting this experimental treatment.
Yeah, I saw that he got antibodies and shit.
Yeah. Which is like, it's not approved for anyone. This is like a, like the Hail Mary pass. And like, why would you subject yourself to that if you're just having mild symptoms at this point, you know?
Right, just take some hydroxychloroquine and call it a day, bro. Hydroxychloroquine.
The sun, right? Remember, yeah. He was like the sun, heat. And,
yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Disinfectant.
It's fucking hot.
Disinfectant, yeah. In the
spray
body.
Some
if
Clorox.
We can get that in the body.
Yeah.
So a big controversy now is like people are saying that perhaps we shouldn't be all reveling in the joy that this man is sick.
Well, I felt that way from the beginning. I don't wish death upon any of my even worst enemies. But I feel conflicted because, like, I get it. This is somebody who's so hateful, who's so fucking evil, who spews all this awful shit, and who has gotten us in this fucking position where we've been in quarantine since fucking March, basically.
Right, right.
You know, and it didn't have to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if we had actual leadership, shit would be different, so... I mean, I get where everybody's coming from. Me, myself, I don't want to put that energy out there because I just think that that shit could come back to you. And, you know, I mean, like, I'm not going to say I hope anything happens to him, but.
Okay, counterpoint. I think that this is someone who's actively causing harm to people, but specifically right. Because of this, like, mm-hmm. I think people are dying, and people have died, obviously, and are.
No, yeah, 200,000 people didn't need to die.
Right, and will continue to die. And whether he dies or doesn't, I think that maybe getting it will cause him to take it seriously for once and make a fucking move, do something, help us, you know?
I fucking doubt it. I super doubt it. If anything... I think if he survives, I'm scared because, like, he's just going to be like, see, it's not that big a deal.
That's the biggest thing in the pit of my stomach where I'm like, oh, God.
That's what's going to happen, I think. That's the reason I think he would fake it, is so he could just be like, see, like, it's, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. Because I'm the fucking pillar of health and, you know, as long as you don't have pre-existing conditions.
I'm hesitant to believe in a conspiracy theory, and I'm hesitant to believe that this administration could pull off a conspiracy theory when they couldn't even pull off getting people PPE. You know what I mean?
All they do is fucking lie, though. Like, I mean, it would be, like, wild if it was somebody that was trustworthy, but, like, this person is, like, fucking literally cheats on everything. Like, why wouldn't he fucking cheat on this?
I just think it would require a level of competence that we haven't seen them have.
I'm sure. Like, I get where you're coming from, mate, but you don't think that... I mean, like, he's the fucking president. He is not, like, completely incompetent. He got it, like, playing the games that he's been playing. Like, he knows what he has to do, you know, to, like, appease those people. That's why he's, like, fucking telling those white supremacist shit. Like, you think he ever really believed that before this? No, he's just, like, playing the fucking game because he wants to stay in power.
Wait, you don't think he's you think he's faking being a white supremacist?
I think that he's faking like how deep he's acting about it. You think he was like that back in his fucking real reality show days?
Yeah, there's one of the producers of The Apprentice says that he's heard him use racial slurs before. And
racial slurs, but was he like a white supremacist, an active white supremacist?
And also when his dad was still alive, they were both sued for housing discrimination and making overt statements that they didn't want black people in their buildings. Like that's white supremacy, you know. There's no other way to describe it.
I especially think it's weird how people have been saying like, oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg made this happen. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
I'm with it though, because I'm not a religious person, but I was like praying that he had it, and then he had it, and I was like, holy shit.
How fucked up though, honestly, like how fucked up that the fucking president is sick and everybody is like happy, or a lot of people are happy and like want him to be sick. Like how fucked up are we that we've gotten to this place?
Yeah,
that's fucking insane to me.
Where did you, I wonder if he's thinking to himself, probably not, because I don't think he's capable of introspection, but like, where did I go wrong in my life to where these many
people? That many people want me to be ill. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, how could you not take a step back? But I mean, you can not take a step back when you're a fucking psychopath.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, he said, I think I'm doing very well.
Yeah, I saw his little proof of life video, his hostage negotiation type video.
I always forget how big he is. Like yesterday when you were telling me that, I was like, fuck, he is pretty big. Guys, I think he, in suits, he kind of hides it very well. Not very well. He still looks big, but he doesn't look as big as he actually is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like...
He's got to be morbidly obese.
No, he is morbidly obese. I think he's like getting close to 300 pounds.
Yeah, like in the, like when he's not in the suits, like in the golf clothes... Mm-hmm. And in like literally any other outfit, he looks very bad. How old is this fool? 79?
74, I think.
Fuck.
you didn't watch the debate, though, right?
No. Biden tested negative, though, so that's great.
I don't understand why they're talking about these tests as if he would have gotten it from contact with Trump and his team. There's like something like a 75% chance that he wouldn't have tested positive by now anyway.
Yeah.
So tell us, give us your negative test like in 3 days, in 4 days, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to monitor for 14 days, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to monitor for symptoms in 14 days. But if you do like the PCR test, like the one that Biden did, you should probably get a result within like 3 to 4 days. And it turns out that the White House wasn't doing the real test. Like they were doing like the rapid results tests that are like, I think it's something like at least 1 in 3 gives false negatives or something.
Oh, my God, man.
The NBA is doing a better job in their bubble than the White House.
You know, what's been tripping me out is like the term science denier. I'm like, how? How is this how even exist? Deny science? How do you deny fact and reason right. and evidence and how? How do you deny that?
You got to be brainwashed.
It's just like you want to believe so bad, like that your little book is like factual, mm-hmm. that like anything in line, you just turn a blind eye. But that's how those people are. That's like how you're saying, like, how do you not be introspective? Like, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Yeah. Mm. So I watched the debate. And I was disgusted, as like everybody mm-hmm. else mm-hmm. in this country and around the world. I was seeing reports from like BBC and stuff, and like everybody was like, my God, like what has happened in America?
It's fucking crazy.
It's sad.
If this were another decade, I think somebody would be trying to like get their ass over here right now, like who? Take over.
Oh, like another like superpower?
Europe or UK, yeah. And be like, they're weak.
Well, one of the, I mean, this was the biggest story this week before this coronavirus issue with the president, was that he refused to disavow white supremacists.
Yeah.
Which was fucking scary.
That's super scary.
And then not only didn't disavow them, but then told them to stand back and stand by, like await instructions or some shit.
Yeah, and like to monitor the voting places, right?
Go to the polls.
The polls.
Yep. And you know those people are armed and mm-hmm. dangerous, and they'll do whatever stupid, the fuck yeah. he says.
It's fucking Kyle Rittenhouse, like 50 million Kyle Rittenhouses.
Right, exactly. So like it was just real fucking scary to me. And then he's also, they asked him like, oh, okay, do you promise to accept the results of the election? And he was like, we'll see, because it's
only if he wins,
right? So then he's telling these people like, oh, get ready, and then also like it's gonna be a scam if I lose, so get ready right. to do shit. So like that shit is terrifying to me. Like, and he said at yeah. the one of the last things he said at the debate was, this isn't going to end well. And that was just like chilling to me. Like I literally got chills up my spine. Like, no, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's only to what degree, you know, we're going to yeah. stand by and let it happen.
Right.
Ugh.
Ugh.
In other news, Mariah Carey talked about sleeping with Derek Jeter for the yeah. first time.
Yeah. I forgot she was with him. That fool was with everyone.
Yeah.
He really got around.
Well, he's allegedly why everybody has herpes, right?
Right. That's like the big thing.
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of him with Mariah Carey.
There is a conspiracy theory I can get behind, but Derek Jeter is the source of all of Hollywood's herpes.
So she was with him like when she was divorcing Tommy Mottola?
Yes. And okay. it seemed like they connected slightly before the divorce process started.
Right. I saw that she like that. She was saying like that he basically is the one there. She was like, I need to move on from this marriage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
that's cool.
She said that he was the second person she ever slept with.
He is. That's like Derek Jeter in his prime, honestly. Good for Mariah.
Yeah, he's hot.
Right.
Yeah. He was hot. I don't know.
And he was like crazy good at his sport.
Yeah. She said that the song My All is about him.
Oh my God.
I think that's my favorite Mariah song.
That is one of my favorite Mariah songs. It's up there. Yeah. God damn. And that video is so yes. good.
And then when you think about it, like, damn, were you like for real in love with him though? Because I'll yeah. give my all to have just one more night with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Derek Jeter knows how to lay down the bike.
I believe it. Shit.
Yeah. I think it was, what is that one called? Not Complex. The Shade Room. Mm-hmm. I saw them tweet, like, just the headline, like, Mariah Carey says that sex with Derek Jeter was, like, sensual or something. Yeah. And then I saw Deezus retweeted, and he put Derek Jeter. So good.
And so, according to her, like, they weren't even, like, together. Like,
oh.
Like, they connected a handful of times, and they realized they didn't have a whole lot in common.
Well, I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. Yeah. That's what a rebound is supposed to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you, Mariah.
Right. And it's like, I mean, you just let him be hot, let him be nice to you, and then keep it moving.
Yeah. Hopefully he bought her something.
Ooh.
I wonder what kind of shit Tommy Mottola bought her.
Oh, probably, what, like a car, a house, all kinds of shit.
I seen hella pictures of John Hamm with his girlfriend out and about this week,
man. Stop it. Get that shit away from me.
I feel like my phone heard me talk about it because, like, I really have seen more pictures of them, like, than ever.
What are they doing? Going to, like, the store and stuff?
Yeah, they were going to, like, fucking Whole Foods.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck Whole Foods. Did you see this fucking thing? This is so stupid, but I wrote it down because I was like, what the fuck?
What?
The Irish Supreme Court said that Subway bread is not bread.
Yeah, because it has too much sugar in it.
They said this shit has so much sugar in it, we cannot call it bread.
So, is it cake?
You think so, right?
Damn.
I gotta go pick up my...
My dad asked
me... My foot-long cake sandwich.
My dad once asked me, what's the difference between bread and cake? And I was like, I'm not gonna answer that question. And I think that I will refer him to the Irish Supreme Court or whatever the fuck.
He didn't say bread and cake, did he?
Yes.
Because you made banana bread?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I could get that, though. Come on, man. Banana bread is cakey.
It's cakey, but it's not cake.
It might have... Let's take this to the Irish Supreme Court. It might have so much sugar in it that it can't be fucking bread. Hey, we could try to make a meatball sub out of your banana bread if you want, though.
Eat fresh.
Oh, God.
So, homie from Jeff Lewis broke up with this man.
Oh yeah, I don't even know who he was dating or anything. I just happened to be on the website that day, and I was like, God damn, I feel like he breaks up with his man like every 6 months. I see a headline.
Yeah, what's the name of his show?
Flipping Out.
Flipping Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. But he had,
is it still on? I was gonna look it up.
He had a long term partner.
He was married.
Yeah.
Well, the guy he started the show with, do you remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And that was like, not Gage. What was that guy's name?
Gage was his recent partner.
That was like his husband.
Yeah, his baby daddy.
Uh-huh.
And he recently broke up with Gage.
Right. They got divorced like not too long ago.
Yeah. And now he's with this other guy. Or now he's not with this other guy.
Yeah, he broke up with that guy.
He's messy. That's what you get for getting with Jeff Lewis.
Yeah, seriously.
I also think I don't think he's friends with his homegirl anymore. Jenny, is that her name?
Yeah, Jenny, really?
Yeah, I think. I haven't seen that show in like years, but I think that's like the last I heard.
It was like the first of its kind of like the flipping shows.
No, there had been flipping shows, but they were like very like about the flipping. This show was about the personality. Him.
Yeah, because he was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first episodes I saw, he was like ordering something at Starbucks and it was fucking ridiculous. Like
what, his order flipped out?
No, like just his order was fucking ridiculous. Like he was like, I want this much coffee. I want just very light ice, 2 pumps, no more of whatever the fuck. I want fucking non-fat, whatever milk. I was like, what the hell's up with this guy?
And I know that his housekeeper retired, Zola.
Aww.
Yeah,
I like their relationship.
Yeah, because she didn't take his shit.
Yeah, and he needed someone like that.
Yeah. Jeffree Star's boyfriend robbed him.
Yeah, that was wild. That whole thing was wild. Look at her fucking picture for. So I feel like it was just a few weeks ago that even this relationship came out of Jeffree Star and who was the guy he was with?
Some like random basketball player.
Yeah, like some not top basketball player, right?
Yeah, not in the NBA. Like, I think he played in like Europe or like in the CBA or something.
Okay, so he was like dating this Andre Marhold.
Okay.
So he was dating this guy, Andre Marhold, a few weeks ago, kind of like went viral on the internet because I think people were just surprised that Andre was like what appears to be like fluid because he had a girlfriend before.
And also Jeffrey's famously racist and he's dating a black man.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Oh, you know, in my mind, just forget about racism.
I don't see color.
It's all coming back to me now. I think he has like Nazi connections and everything, right? Yeah. Okay. That's another reason why. Okay. Duh.
Yeah.
So, that was like kind of going viral. So then this week, Jeffree started saying that commenting on Andre's, I think, Instagram post saying like, if you're not going to answer my calls, can you at least bring all my shit back?
Yeah. He was like, I'll pay for return shipping.
Yeah. So he got played. And then I saw that guy, Andre, he had posted some stuff on Instagram like with Jeffree and he switched all the titles to say the captions to just be like, oh, I just needed a bag.
Yeah. Well, if you do clownery, the clownery is gonna come back to bite.
Hey man, that's what you get. What were you saying about
Amanda Knox? Amanda Knox signed this petition to release Keith Raniere, the head of NXIVM.
Why? What the fuck?
Yeah, people started calling her out, and then she was like, to clarify, I'm not saying that he's innocent or that I, you know, think he shouldn't be in prison, but she took some sort of issue with like the way his trial was conducted or something. Like she said something about the trial was unfair, and that, you know, obviously she's going to be an advocate for people who are
like were wrongfully convicted, exactly.
But she had to come out and clarify because people were like, "Girl, what are you talking about? What are you doing?"
Yeah, not a good look, homegirl.
Yeah,
I fucking hate snakes. Sorry, and I hate when I see them like randomly when I'm scrolling.
So, like, if somebody put like a rubber snake in your bed or something,
yeah, I would get mad. I'm not necessarily like super scared. I mean, I would be scared too if I saw like a big ass one. Have you ever seen one?
No, hell no. Like the Britney Spears one.
What? Oh no, not like that. I have seen a big ass one like that at a birthday party when I was little one time. They had like a reptile guy come.
And were you scared?
No,
I would never touch a snake. Something I don't like the way like their skin looks. I never want to touch it.
Yeah, I was no, but like I went at one time running. I saw like a snake on the thing, and it did scare me. I was like, oh fuck.
Or like when you're hiking and you like hear something.
No, that would scare me.
Yeah, that's just scary.
There's lots of things that scares me about hiking that I think like we forget that you should be prepared for stuff.
Oh, did you hear about Naya Rivera's sister?
No. Well, I saw that she's been stepping in, but then there was somehow controversy.
Because she like straight up moved in with
her ex?
With Naya's ex.
The baby daddy?
Yeah. So then NT is implying that they had a relationship prior to this.
Oh, that's wild if that's true. But I would think that maybe they might get into a relationship.
I mean, if now. If they didn't. You know, and then she moves in and like I could see that getting messy.
Yeah, for sure. People, that happens all the time. Fuck.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is May.
And my name is Stephanie. And this is the Drama Club.
This is the podcast about scandals, gossip,
celebrities, drama,
politic, sport,
just one politic. LeBron James.
Shout out to the Lakers, who are well on their way to winning a championship.
Los Dodgers. Shout out to all our local teams. Just the two that matter.
Yeah, because not shout out to the Clippers, also not shout out to the Angels.
Yeah, no, fuck you guys.
I fuck with the Kings if you like hockey. I like the LA Galaxy, although they are the other team. The Los Angeles Football Club is better now.
Yeah, I don't like LAFC, though.
What else? Oh, yeah, so welcome.
Bienvenidos.
All right, I have a quickie, and let's talk about Bjork's stalker.
Let's do it.
This is my second episode on Bjork, who is an artist who, as I get older, I become more and more impressed by. I love her. I think she's a genius. I think the Thom Yorkes of the world get that title thrown at them all day, every day, but people often like overlook a Bjork. I think she should have been nominated for the Best Actress Oscar for Dancer in the Dark.
Relax, man. Nobody's fighting you.
Julia Roberts might want to fight me on that one because she won for Erin Brockovich that year.
Oh, fuck it, Brockovich.
I also think that the fucking swan dress made people not take her seriously as an artist for a long time. And I could go on, but I don't want to sound like her stalker. So
too late, bitch.
So for this, I watched the documentary, the video diary of Ricardo Lopez, which is 70 minutes long, and it shows the
damn.
What?
70 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a long ass time.
An hour and 10 minutes?
For a video diary? Yeah.
Well, it shows the highlights of his 22-hour video diaries.
Okay.
I know that something like 18 or 19 hours are easily available online, but I didn't watch them for reasons which will become obvious. Although it seems like a lot of people have watched them according to Reddit. Anyway, let's go.
You're getting into the deep, dark corners of Reddit.
It's not that deep. Not that deep or dark corners. They're pretty surface level Reddit. There's like so many, in so many Reddit subreddits, people discuss this for some reason. It's like in the 90s subreddit, in like pop music subreddit, in like the dark, in like fucking psychopath subreddit and shit. Like, it's everywhere. So Ricardo Lopez was 21 years old when he began his video diary in January of 1996. He worked for his brother's pest control company, but he really was an aspiring artist. From time to time, you'll see his sculptures and paintings in his diary, and he honestly seemed pretty talented. It's my understanding that he couldn't really pursue art because he wanted to go to art school, but he had a crippling fear of rejection and couldn't handle the possibility of not getting in or not cutting it once there. So the documentary jumps right in to Ricardo explaining in what seems to be his very first video what we're about to see. Quote, "Comfort is what I seek in speaking to you, something that makes me feel better. For a long time, I've been speaking into the mirror, basically being my own psychologist. I may as well begin. Bjork. She's been an incredible part of my mind since 93, since I first saw her. It started with a crush and ended up with an obsession. I'm not embarrassed to admit it's an obsession." What is really shocking, I think, for me, is how lucid and normal he looks and sounds, at least at first and for the majority of the tapes, because he doesn't later. I guess I would have expected him to sound like a raging lunatic or something. I also want to point out that it's interesting to watch his videos in 2020 because what he's really doing is blogging before there was a word for it. This would absolutely just be one of the millions of Instagram accounts we see today and no one would ever think twice about it. But I'm sure that back in 96, this was weird as fuck. It's like a dude taping himself. Talking. Yeah, talking
to the
camera.
It's like one of those YouTube vlogs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I thought an hour and 10 minutes is long. Those things are like 3 minutes long.
Oh, unless you're Tati.
Yeah, but she's me.
And if you're Tati spilling some tea, that shit's going to be at minimum 45 minutes.
She's got to speak her truth.
Yeah, so this is like, this dude would be completely normal today. But back then, like, he was crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny to me when I think of the real world, like, that was such a, like, it was, like, so crazy that they had these people living in a house together. And now how many fucking shows do we have like that?
Right. And, like, the confessionals and stuff. People, like, talking shit about people. And
Yeah.
Anyway, Ricardo then shows a beautiful photo of Bjork and comments on her beauty and says, quote, "Look at that beautiful face. Well, she's fucking a N-word.
Uh-oh.
Then he repeats, "She's fucking a N-word." Bjork, with a hard R, by the way. Bjork, at the time, was dating a DJ named Goldie for a few years, who has quite the Wikipedia himself, if you guys want to look him up.
Uh-oh.
He's, like, real famous over there, I guess. In, like, over there in the UK, I should say, where he's from. And where Bjork was living at the time. So anyway, then Ricardo admits that he's planning on sending a bomb to Bjork because, quote, "I'm just going to have to kill her." And
where was he publishing this?
He wasn't publishing it. He was just videotaping himself.
And not showing it to anybody?
It was his personal diary. He used to keep written diaries, but then he decided to switch to video.
I mean, yeah, you're going to get carpal tunnel.
So he says, quote, "I'm just going to have to kill her. And then I'm going to have to kill myself." He says it with the matter-of-factness of someone whose babysitter canceled on them. Like, "I'm just going to have to take the kids to my mom's and then we can go to the movies." Like, it was like nothing. By the way, this dude has big incel energy. As it progresses, he absolutely seems like one of those dudes. He says that he's a virgin. He also sounds very self-loathing. He self-harms. He sticks needles in his thighs. He talks about how dirty, disgusting, and fat he thinks he is.
Oh, no.
Like, that sort of thing. And specifically about how small his penis is, which he shows, by the way.
Okay. Is he Mexican, May?
He's from Uruguay.
Okay.
So, yeah, and he talks about how big he thinks black men's peni are in comparison. By the way, he weirdly explains that his obsession with Bjork isn't particularly sexual. Like he talks about just wanting to hold her like a daughter.
That's weird.
It's real weird.
That's somehow more weird.
It's so weird because also he points out, like, just look at her. She's just like cute.
I don't like that.
He's like, she's never been beautiful to me. She's cute like a child. So I want to be like a father to her. Like he talks about, like, I imagine us holding each other.
Does he have kids?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a virgin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not that you can't like adopt somebody else's kid. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Later, he briefly talks about, he's like, this is like tapes and tapes later. So hours and hours later. And by the way, these tapes are over the course of like 9 months. Later, he says something like, oh, sometimes I fantasize about going down on her. Because he said that he saw a porno where like this woman was so elated by a man going down on her that he thought like, oh, I could make her happy that way. And he's like, yeah, I would put her on top of the washing machine because there's vibration on the washing machine.
Damn. And then,
but it's the whole thing is weird, but for the most part, not sexual.
Okay.
So
could you imagine being the person who found all this?
Jesus, yes. It's
all the videos?
Yeah. So Ricardo attempts to make a bomb that when opened will shoot out hypodermic needles that he plans to taint with HIV positive blood.
Okay.
The idea being that when Bjork opens this and becomes infected with HIV, she'll have to live with the consequences of her actions or whatever.
Something of like being with a black man?
Yeah, like he wants to punish her.
Okay.
So, and it's like, so his first idea is like, I don't want to kill her. I want to make it hurt for as long as possible. And this was like what he came up with, like something that'll like ruin her life, you know?
Wow.
He says that he isn't trying to justify his behavior and that he knows that it's wrong, but that he's going to do it anyway.
Do we know anything about like, is he living with his family?
No,
is he living alone?
He's living alone in Hollywood, Florida. That's just outside of Miami, in a like fucked up little apartment. He's got a couple of friends. He talks about this one friend, Ralph, that, you know, just seems to be just like a regular guy that he's friends with. He has his brother that he works for at the pest control company.
Okay.
He seems to be fairly involved in his life. This is a dude who, I mean, it could be anybody.
Right. Okay. That's fucking scary.
Yeah. So, and that was scary also that he was like, I know this is wrong. I know it.
Right.
But I'm going to do it anyway. He talks more or less about racism that way. Like because he is a racist and he's like,
right.
And he'll say things that are racist and he's like, yeah, I know that that was fucked up or whatever. But he's like, but that's just the way that I think.
Right.
At least he says that. So anyway, the HIV bomb doesn't work the way he wants it to.
Right. I mean, I didn't expect this man to be savvy enough to get that fucking concoction going, but yeah.
So he ultimately abandons that idea.
How is he going to get HIV positive blood too?
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then his parents call him from Uruguay to tell him that they're really worried about him. I guess his brother told them that he was going through a hard time. They beg him to make sure that he never buys a gun and assure him that he's loved and needed and asked him to come home to Uruguay for a visit because he was born out there.
Okay.
And he actually does.
Good.
He also stops recording for 3 months. Then he picks up in July again and explains that he stopped because there's been nothing to tell except that he just quit his job and has seemingly renewed his resolve to kill Bjork and kill himself.
Okay.
So he gets to work on a new explosive device, this time one that will spray sulfuric acid. And it's like, you're saying I don't buy that he could have done the hypodermic needles things, but I think if he put his mind to it, he could have, because actually the... The explosive.
That's everybody and everything.
Because the explosive device that he ultimately makes is really sophisticated.
Okay.
And it's like the needles thing. Like, you just needed, you know how like they make those bombs that just have shrapnel that just like explode and then like cut people up? Like the Unabomber's bombs, like he used to do nails. Ugh. It's like if he could have, if he would have just thrown the needles in there, he would have made it work.
Yeah. This is like the early days of the internet too, where you could like easily come across. I mean, you could still easily come across that shit, but.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because he only goes online in one instance near the end of the video, and he has to go to an internet cafe to send an email. So it's like, yes, those things were out there, but it wouldn't have been so easy. Like, he didn't, it doesn't look like he has a computer,
right?
You know, it's like, yeah, this is 96. So anyway, so he works on a new explosive device, this time one that will spray sulfuric acid. Oh, and he buys a gun and hollow point bullets, because USA. USA.
Yeah.
They made him wait the fucking 3 days or whatever the fuck.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Then his brothers do a kind of intervention on him, and he agrees to go to a mental health facility. He mostly agrees because he figures if he doesn't go along with it, they're going to commit him or something, and they'll take his gun away, and he won't be able to go through with his plot. And he, like, he's telling the camera, like, yeah, when my brothers came in here, I broke down like I never broke down before. I started crying and telling them what they wanted to hear, and like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to the psychiatrist on Monday and whatever the fuck. And he does, like, he does it, but he knows what he's doing. He's manipulating them.
I wonder what they saw.
Well, they, when it's all said and done, say that they never thought he was capable of any sort of violence or anything. They just thought, like, he's troubled. Their worst case scenario was he's going to hurt himself someday.
Right.
They never thought that he would ever. It, even like the obsession with Bjork, they would kind of like tease him about it, like, oh, you, like, go get a real girlfriend, like, yeah, you're never gonna meet Bjork, come on now, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so on September 12th, 1996, Ricardo spends the morning psyching himself up to send the bomb to Bjork, and is very visibly nervous. By the way, when he's testing out the bomb, like, that part of the video is so fucking scary. He's buying like all these different kinds of acid and testing them on salami to see, to make sure that they like burn through the skin. He's putting paint into like an explosive device to make sure, like, when it explodes, to see like where the liquid goes and stuff, to make sure that, like, when somebody opens it, it's going to get in their face and stuff. And presumably Bjork opens it. So anyway, he spends the morning psyching himself up to send the bomb, and he's very nervous. And ultimately, he does go to the post office and sends it. Then he comes home and continues to film. This is when the documentary ends. But like I said, the rest of the footage does exist online if you want to see it. Although I kind of wish that the documentary continued just like a little bit more, because it's really fascinating if you're interested in psychology to see someone unravel for 9 months and to see like where that ultimately ends.
Takes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could have shown us a little bit more, but personally, I don't want to seek it out because I don't want to accidentally see something that I'd rather not.
Right.
So apparently he starts playing Bjork's music as he gets naked and shaves his head.
Okay.
And paints his face red and green.
Okay.
If you're curious like I am, it's safe to Google image search Ricardo Lopez, where you can see photos of him.
Stills?
Yeah, stills of him looking like this, because he looks like a demon.
Okay.
It's one of the scariest real life images I've ever seen. Like, it's now like engraved in my memory.
Yeah, I'm not gonna look at that. Y'all go ahead though.
So then he puts on Bjork's cover of I Remember You, which is really beautiful, by the way. It's just her singing over a harp.
Shut the fuck up.
What? It's just like, I
by
mean,
the way, the soundtrack was fucking just, well, lovely.
It's fucking creepy. Like, if you look up I Remember You, like, on YouTube and stuff, everybody's talking about this moment. Nobody's talking about like the song itself. They're like, how creepy it is that this is the song that he chose for this moment. Anyway, so he tells the camera, I'm a little nervous now. I'm definitely not drunk. I am not depressed.
You didn't see this part? Sorry?
I didn't see it. This is the description.
Okay.
So he says, I'm definitely not drunk. I'm not depressed. I know exactly what I'm doing. He then puts his gun in his mouth and pulls the trigger. His body falls out of view of the camera, and you can hear him groaning and blood gurgling. And eventually the tape ends.
Oh my God.
So I do, like, I would...
I thought that he was going to, like, test out the thing or something.
Uh-uh. No, he was, like, he sent it, so he had to kill himself, you know?
Cause, oh, okay.
Because he says throughout the video, like, I'll never, if for some reason I get, you know, if the police bust in here right now, I'm not going to let myself get arrested. I'm going to kill myself. So he sent it, so he had to fucking kill himself.
Right.
And, yeah. So I would like a version to go, like, up until, like, a couple minutes before he kills himself. I would like to see, like,
him. Well, you could stop it, right?
But I don't know when it's going to happen exactly.
When the gun goes in his mouth.
I don't want to see that. Yeah, I definitely don't want to see the gun go in his mouth. Yeah. So cut to 4 days later when neighbors reported a bad smell and blood coming from Ricardo's apartment. When police entered, they saw a note on the wall that read, quote, the 8mm videos are documentation of a crime. Terrorist matter there for the FBI.
Oh, fuck.
They quickly realized that they had a big problem after watching the tapes and tracked down the package, which was at a post office in London, where Scotland Yard was able to safely detonate it.
Good.
Obviously, Bjork never would have received it anyway. You can't just, like, send mail directly.
Somebody would have got hurt, though.
Somebody would have
got hurt. Or could have got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because it was working. I mean, it was... And he had tested it so many times, it was gonna go off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was set to go off just like when you opened it, or
he made this like really beautiful like book, like a hollowed out book with his artwork on it. Uh-huh. And it was like if you opened the book, it would have exploded.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, somebody at her management's office vets all her mail and shit, so somebody over there would have gotten really hurt.
Yeah.
Also, Bjork and Goldie broke up a few days before he mailed it.
Uh-oh.
So it's like, possibly if he would have known that.
Maybe something could have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we would have lived in an internet age, like,
yeah,
he would have seen it on TMZ.
Information comes so fast, yeah.
Right. And he would have been like, huh, okay, maybe she doesn't deserve to die or be permanently disfigured or whatever.
Yeah.
So Bjork was obviously really shaken up by all of this.
Fuck yeah.
And she hired a full-time security team to protect her and her young son.
I was going to say, did she already have her son?
Yeah.
This
Welcome to Bangkok, our previous episode on Bjork, took place in February of this year. That's when she's arriving in Bangkok with her young son.
Did I do the swan dress?
I don't think so.
Okay. Oh, no, I did the ballet dress.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So her son is a babe. Like, he's like 6 or 7 or something. Like, he's going to school. So she has to send him now to school with a full security team and shit.
That's so fucked up, man.
It's super. Ugh. Anyway, so she put out a statement that said she was, quote, very distressed. It's terrible. Very terrible. It's a very sad thing that someone would shoot his face off. I make music, but in other terms, you know, people shouldn't take me too literally and get involved in my personal life.
Right.
She also sent flowers to Ricardo's family.
Aww. That's so fucked up for his family.
It is, because
they didn't know how deep this shit was, right. You know? Yeah.
And by all accounts, like, throughout the video, he talks about how loving his family is. And like early in the video, he's like, you know, I'm thinking about killing myself, but I don't want to do it yet because it would kill my mother. I would have to wait for my mother to die before I even considered killing myself. And then later, it's just kind of like snowballs. Like, okay, I guess I have to do this now because she's dating Goldie. Like,
right.
Yeah. So he seems like to have a very loving family, which is really shitty. I feel like horrible for them.
And I think that's like the thing people don't, you know, people have like these ideas about mental health in their head, and like it's like, you know, you could come from a really loving family and like you could have support and still feel absolutely alone, and you need medical attention.
And imagine, like, you know, his parents lived in the old country, but his brothers lived right there. Like, his brothers were as involved as you could be with a grown ass man, I think.
Right. And from a distance.
Right. So, so outside of that one statement, Bjork doesn't really discuss this incident publicly.
Good.
But she did give one interview one time where she said, quote, "I was very upset that somebody had died. I couldn't sleep for a week. And I'd be lying if I just said that it didn't scare the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
That I could get hurt, and most of all, that my son could get hurt." And it's like, that's the only, like, real statement that she's put out post, like, the immediate, like, what the fuck, you know?
Dude, if I was Bjork, like, I don't think I could sleep again for a long ass time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really all there is to say about this super scary tragedy. Like, thank goodness nobody else got hurt.
Yeah.
Of course, he wished that Ricardo could have gotten the help that he needed, but, you know, I feel bad for him. Like, most of all, he was sick.
He was super sick. Not even, like, it's fucked up. Yeah. Ooh, that was a dark one, May.
I know. I texted Stephanie earlier this week, like, have we done a dark afternoon delight? Because I'm thinking about doing a dark one.
Oh, yeah. It's spooky season, baby.
Hey.
Happy Halloween.
Welcome to Bangkok.
And fuck Christmas. Oh, well, guys, that was this week's episode of The Drama Club. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Drama Club Pod, on the website dramaclubpod.com.
On the hotline, 505-539-0556. Oh, shout out to Mel, who left a message on the hotline telling us about Keanu and Diane Keaton dating.
Oh my God, did you see Hyder sent us? Oh my God, that picture of him with Diane Keaton. She looks so cool.
Yeah, she looks really cool. Yeah. Leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Send us some money. And we'll talk to you on Thursday with a brand new Real Ass episode.
Bye.
Bye.
However, whatever with your helmet.